Shall we open our Bibles this morning? Go with me, if you would, please, to 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. I have been ministering for some weeks now, and you might say, well, how long can you stay on one subject? Well, if you attempted to exhaust a subject, you could be years. But we've been teaching concerning the Holy Spirit, why He is a third member of the Godhead. If you ask me to explain everything about triune being, God, one, but three, and all that, I'm not sure anybody can, you know, fully explain that to everyone else's satisfaction, but the Spirit of God. And Jesus said when He was going to leave earth that He would send another comforter or another helper. And we see with the day of Pentecost, some things really happened and changed. And so if He's the helper, I'm sticking with this because if you and I ever need help, that's who's going to help us. Amen. Or if we want to use the word comforter, as it says in some translations, if you ever need a bit of comforting, He's the one that's going to do that. And so I'm basically operating on this principle. Anything that's going to happen for you by way of help is going to be Him. Remember, Jesus said, I go away. So He, when we say Jesus comes to me, or I spoke to the Lord and all that, well, it might be technically you spoke to the Holy Spirit and Jesus, you know, is relayed. Even from Sunday school as kids, we were taught, you know, well, Jesus comes and lives in your heart. Well, it's the Spirit of God comes and resides in you. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Is that overly technical? I don't know. Maybe it is. Do we need to make such delineations? Maybe not, you know, but what I'm getting at is we should be very familiar, even knowledgeable, and understanding while we walk on this earth, our, shall we say, representative of God, he is God. Representative would be the wrong word. The part of God that is our, on the inside, walking with us day by day, always listening, watching, and helping us is the Spirit of God. Is that a way to say it? Does that make sense? And if He's the help, you should know Him. You should know about Him. You should recognize Him. You should know His ways. And just to say something about the last 2 weeks, we did 2 weeks ago metaphors of the Spirit. In other words, water, fire, wind, different things that those characteristics teach us what the Spirit of God is like or even is, you know. So metaphors will train us and teach us about, you know, and we use this sometimes. You know, you may be talking about somebody and he'd say, he's just a bulldog. When we say that, what are we talking about? We talk about somebody that might latch on and not let go of a thing, right? And years ago when I was an associate minister, I worked for a senior pastor, and he used to give me assignments to do things. One day he said to me, you're just an old hound dog. I can put you on a trail, and you will follow it out until you find out. So he considered me good at research and digging in and finding things and working it out and so on. So he called me a hound dog. It was a compliment. In the way he explained it, you know, but that's a metaphor, you know. So metaphors of the Spirit, and there were several. Then we talked about fruit of the Spirit last week. The fruit of the Spirit is love from Galatians. Remember, joy, peace, long-suffering, and some of these things. I did not spend a lot of time on what those individual things are, but we did talk about how when the Spirit of God is leading in someone's life and they're yielding to Him, that person will have fruit in their life. Amen. And you can see that. You can see the Spirit of God working and operating in somebody. Well, that takes us then to another place. 1 Corinthians 12 is about what we call gifts of the Spirit. And for those of us who, whatever our religious training background, even if there was none, was, you know, kind of depends on who you've been with, how people view gifts of the Spirit. And so the Bible talks about these gifts of the Spirit, and so we have to talk about these gifts of the Spirit. I was raised in, I guess you'd say, a traditional denominational church. Knew all about that. Didn't know much about Holy Spirit. Just wasn't something they majored on. Acknowledged the Spirit, you know. We sang the song, God in three persons, you know, Blessed Trinity, holy, 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 right? Yeah. So we were aware, but there were things that I found out later, if I would read stuff in the Bible and ask questions, oh, we don't do that. Well, what are you talking about? We don't do that, you know, in some of these things. So this gifts of the Spirit becomes a bit of a flashpoint for a lot of folk. And it seems to be a place where people can become divided even, things of the Spirit. I mean, I've heard people say flat to me, oh, well, we don't do all that Holy Spirit stuff. I mean, think about that statement. We don't do that Holy Spirit stuff. There's part of God that's agreeable to you, and there's part that you reject. Really? You know, do we have that option like that, you know? So anyway, I have, although some people might like to just jump right into some of these things, weeks ago, I am working my way towards that. And even today, when we go through gifts of the Spirit, I'm not going to spend time today on what those gifts are and how they function. Although it's pretty exciting to me. I like it. I've, you know, love what we sometimes call a good Holy Spirit service, you know. But we're going to really lay the groundwork, maybe is the way to say that. But so let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. All right, we got a mouthful already. We already have to stop and talk about this. Whatever is to be taught about spiritual gifts, we should not be ignorant. What does ignorant mean? Ignorant means you're unlearned or don't know. That's all it means. And it might not be somebody's fault. They might not know some things because they just didn't have any exposure to certain things, to certain teachings perhaps. In some cases, you know, you were forbidden from some things. So you just don't know. And here's the thing about something you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And so ignorant. So Paul here states clearly in this subject area, we should not be ignorant. We should be knowledgeable and we should know about these things. Now, when it says here, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, the word gifts, sometimes I point out some technicalities in translation and language. Why? Words matter. And the right word communicates properly. It's sometimes kind of appalling to hear people talk, and I guess you can kind of, I don't mean this as any kind of an insult, you can kind of pick out someone's education level by their vocabulary. I'm still looking up words. I hear somebody say a word, and I go look up, well, what exactly does that mean, you know? Words mean things. And people who have a strong vocabulary and can choose a particular word properly, their expression is fuller and richer and definitely more accurate. So words mean things. We should pay attention to words. Sometimes I drive my daughter nuts a little bit because I'm a little more particular in communication than she is. You know, she had her refrigerator go out this week, and she said, I tried to tell you something was wrong, and you told me there wasn't. Well, no, I told you it could be this and it could be this. I didn't say it wasn't wrong. So something that I see as a particular, she didn't catch, you know. Yeah. So anyway, that's just one example of several. And I don't blame her, you know, it's just, Everybody hears things a little different. You tend to hear what you already think in that, you know. And there was something else that I texted to her, and I didn't put any punctuation on it. And she answered me something to the effect, well, how would she know, or whatever it was. And I texted her back, that was a statement, not a question. So, you know, even the punctuation, a period would have changed entirely the meaning of my text, right? I thought she'd understand that, but, you know, she thought I was asking a question on a technicality, and no, I was making a statement. But anyway, words mean things. Sometimes going to the original language it was written in, Greek, and looking at that word, it means something of some significance. I don't do that to show off, because there's nothing to show off. I'm not, you know, a Greek scholar, but I have a dictionary. So, you know, if you can look up a word, and now everybody has a dictionary on the internet, you can look up anything. But anyway, so I'm going to point out some things today, because they do matter. In fact, one of the radio programs that happened to listen to, there's a radio station, there's a radio network that's nationwide owned by Christians, and so some Christian themes come up in some of their talk shows once in a while. Well, they got on the subject, I think it was Friday, about should women teach or preach in a church, you know. Okay, and here we go. Boy, there was people this way, and there was people that way, and it just was, again, a time where, of course, I'm always right, and all the people that call into the radio are wrong, but anyway, you understand I'm joking, right? But they would quote or read a scripture and just sometimes miss certain words, and you would hear them read the scripture and then spout the way they think about it as if that's the truth, you know. And so there was a little bit of argument going back and forth, and everybody would quote their favorite little thing, and some didn't quote Bible at all, just, well, no, women shouldn't preach in churches, you know, because women are supposed to be in submission. Hang on. It says a wife is in submission to her husband. Not women are in submission to men. Those are two completely different things, and that detail has escaped them. But it's the way their church does, so that's the way it comes out, you know. And one quotes, you know, well, the Apostle Paul wrote, you're not to permit a woman to teach a man. And, well, what they missed is Paul said, I do not permit a woman to teach. He doesn't say God doesn't permit a woman to teach. Apparently God didn't know about this, because Stephen had daughters who were, or I'm sorry, Philip had daughters who were evangelists. Oops. What's that about? So there are times where, if you'll pay attention, Paul, even concerning divorce and marriage, there's a place where he wrote, I'm going to paraphrase, believe, and I think I have the Spirit on it. And then he teaches what he believes. So he's not sure it's exactly in line with God, but it's what he believes. And so if you take what he teaches after he gives a qualifier for it, and you make it, thus saith the Lord, you're gone further than the Apostle Paul did, who's saying, I have this opinion. Amen. You following me? So words can mean things, and you got to pay attention to words. I don't know, but I just suppose God made me that way. I see the particular words, and sometimes, you know, people think a scripture says something, and it doesn't at all. When you really stop and slow down and think about it a little bit, you know. And when you hear other people quote the scripture sometimes, isn't it amazing what they come up with? You know, well, the good book says, and then they'll say something that the good book don't say. But anyway, words mean things. So we'll do a little bit of that today. And all of that is to point out this here. Now concerning spiritual gifts. If you look at a King James Bible, that word is italicized, gifts, that word. Whenever a word is italicized in the King James Version, and some others do that as well, that means it is not in the original Greek. And so if we were to read that more literally, it would read, "Now concerning spiritual, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." Well, why is that important? Translators added the word gift to try to help the reader understand what he might be talking about. But what has happened here is the word gift does appear down a little bit further. And we think, okay, the word gift was there twice. It was not. And so they are not necessarily talking about the same thing. And so when you read this, now concerning spiritual, it should be plural. Now concerning spirituals, I would not have you to be ignorant, or do not be ignorant. So the word there in Greek is pneumatikos. You will recognize pneuma in it. In Greek is P-N-E-U-M. Some of the mechanical people will recognize pneumatic, air-powered. If you have pneumatic tools, impact gun, you know, things like that, pneumatic nailers, it means air-powered. So it is pneumatikos, and it means spiritual men or spiritual things. It is a broad, general category that means spiritual things. So when we get to the word gifts, it'll be something different from this. That's why I point that out. So, concerning spiritual things, we should not be ignorant. We should be informed. We should understand. And we should be welcoming. If we skip down to the fourth verse, we'll stay with the subject here. It says, there are diversities of gifts. Now, it was not italicized here. That word is actually there. So here, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. What does diversities mean? Different kinds of, various, several types. Diversities. So there are gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. 6, there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So, by the way, there's Father, Son, and Spirit right there in those three verses. One is of the Spirit, one is of the Lord, and one is of God the Father. There are folks who, especially if you ever get into it a little bit with someone that's a Muslim, you guys worship three gods. You know, they want to offer that critique, and it doesn't say the word Trinity anywhere in the Bible. No, it does not. But there are so many places where we see it. Here's one of them. There are many. There are many. But we notice that gifts in verse 4 are connected to the Spirit. Ministries in verse 5 are connected to the Lord. And activities in 6 is connected to God or God the Father. So they are three different things of three parts of God. Again, I'm not sure how to express this to be very clear to everybody, but God is not three different persons. Maybe you could say personhoods all in the same one. I'm not sure exactly what's the best way to explain these things. But there's distinctions between them. Otherwise, why list them out? So when we had, back in verse 1, there are spirituals, spiritual things, that is the umbrella under which these three subcategories fall. You following me so far? These three categories would be spiritual things. Spiritual things. So if we look at each of these words, back to four, please, diversities of gifts. In Greek, that word gifts is charisma. Charisma. Sometimes we would refer to ourselves or congregations as charismatic. A charismatic congregation would be those that believe the gifts of the Spirit are still in operation today. Well, if the Spirit of God's in operation, His gifts are in operation. It would be a flat statement from me on that. So the word is charisma. Some places the word charis is there, similar to charisma. Same root word. Charis means grace. A gift is a grace from God. Grace from God is a gift. We understand this. When God extends grace to us, it's a free gift. We don't earn it. There are times when, we would ask God for a gift, and that's something different from a mercy. Amen. And there are times, God, give me mercy. Well, when He gives grace, it's unmerited, it's unearned. Mercy, I guess we'd say, is unearned as well. But I guess we'll leave that for another time, difference between those things. But it is a gift. It's defined as favor, free gift, or gift, simply. Then in verse 5, there are differences of ministries. The word ministries is diakonia, D-I-A-K-O-N-I-A. You might see its similarity where we get the word deacon, one who serves in ministry, a deacon, diakonia. It means ministry, service, a role or position of service. There are positions or roles, there are assignments. When one is given a ministry, you're given an assignment, a role. It is a place of service. And if God calls you to a place of service, He also equips you for that as well. So it does, in the definition, include a position. Now, this would be understood clearly. We won't go there today, but where in Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about the Lord gave apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. Those are positions or roles of service. Those are ministry gifts. They are not the only ones. We sometimes call that the fivefold ministry or the five offices of ministry. But notice here, and this agrees with Ephesians, it's the Lord who assigns roles and gives ministry gifts. So they're places and positions of service. Which one's the most important? Well, for you or me, the one that's most important is the one we're assigned to. Nothing else matters. Well, I think I'd like to be standing in front of people and they all love me and like me and, I'd like to be in charge. I should be the preacher. You don't want that if you're not assigned that for the Lord. I can promise you that. So, places or roles of positions, differences of ministries. This is again under the first verse umbrella, spiritual things. Then in verse 6, it says, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God. The word activities, the Greek word, is energema. Energema. And you might recognize, if you spelled it out, it's E-N-E-R-G-E-M-A. Well, you can see that's pretty close to our word energy. Any movement of energy, anything God does, an activity, an exertion of His energy, of His power, of His strength. So there are activities. It is defined as a deed, a working, an operation, or an effect. Something that God is doing, having an effect, an operation. So when it's talking about in verse 1, don't be ignorant of spiritual things, we have at least these three categories. The gifts, the ministries, and the various activities of God. Let's go down to verse 7. It says here next, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, when it says manifestation, there it means, Greek word, it means revelation, disclosure, setting forth plainly. We might describe it something like this. You know, you see somebody and you just get a feeling of what are they trying to pull? What's going on here? You don't understand. And then they make a move and you go, oh, I see it now. That means their motives have been manifested. You can see it in the action, what was behind the scenes and what's going on. So a manifestation. And when it says manifestation, think the whole category again, spiritual things. It is the revealing, the showing, the working out of gifts, of ministries, of activities. So when the Spirit of God moves, and if it happens on the earth, it will be the Spirit of God. When anything manifests and shows, it is of the Spirit of God. Because even if it's directed by the Lord or by the Father, it will be the Spirit of God that carries it forth on the earth. Amen. Remember the very first message weeks ago, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. Genesis chapter 1. He's been the agent on the earth from the beginning and will be all the way through till the end. And so all this manifestation is given, it says, to each one. That's talking about people. For the profit of all. All of the workings and manifestations of the Spirit of God are for profit. Does anybody in here like profit? Yes. That means you put in a certain amount and the return or the harvest is greater than what you put in. Amen. So that's profit. Profit is a good thing. Sow seed in the garden and reap more zucchini than you know what to do with. Right? Profit. Everything associated with the Spirit of God and His moving, His activities, His gifts, His ministries, all of it has the effect and purpose of profiting people. If people are lacking profit, they're lacking something that the Spirit of God does. And for, say, even our brothers and sisters, oh, we don't do all that Holy Spirit stuff, you are leaving behind profit that you could have. Amen. Well, I'm just not that greedy, you know, about things like, look, if God intends for me to receive a blessing, do I not insult Him to say, oh, I don't want that. I don't need any of that. Amen. Amen. So profit should be viewed upon favorably. And things that the Spirit of God does profit us. If the Spirit of God and understanding Him and knowing Him and knowing His ways and cooperating with Him is how my life in all its various departments, profits, I want to know about this. I want to cooperate with this. I want more of this in my life. Amen. And, you know, I'm toward the upper years, I guess, at this point in time. I've lived some life. I've watched a lot of Christians for many years. And I see we do not profit equally. Amen. You have those that just can't seem to catch a blessing. And then you got people like me that blessings just fall on me. They just come around. I'm just minding my business and a blessing hits me upside the head. And they want to get mad at me that I got hit upside the head with a blessing. Amen. It's not my fault. I'm just going along following God. And the Spirit says, here, have some. Amen. Amen. Could it be that I have learned something about the ways of the Spirit, following the Spirit, my source of blessing? I'm not ignorant in the subject area and so on. I follow His leading when He says, do this, not that. Could it be that that profits me? And someone else might have the same voice of the Spirit come, and they may not recognize Him, they may not know Him, or that's crazy, I'm not going to do that. Tithe. Okay. Amen. Emily, after I'm done, is going to give testimony. She's going to tell you about profit and the tithe a little bit. But anyway, profit is good. Because I've profited in my life, I have resources of various kinds, yes, money too, to help other people. Even more than resources I have, if I have knowledge that I can help somebody also to learn and follow out, and they can begin to profit. Ooh, that is awesome. That cranks my tractor. Yeah, that's a Mark Hankins thing. Amen. That's the old thing about you can give a man a fish or teach him how to fish. You know, he'll have a meal or he'll eat the rest of his life. That's the difference between the two. So knowing these things, if there's one thing I could get across to a wide variety of people, when you see someone profiting, growing in blessing, and it seems a little scarce in your life, ask the question, what are they doing that I'm not doing? Because people tend to get jealous, tend to get mad, tend to get angry, all that kind of thing, you know, and to look at you like you're so uppity and everything, you know. You should be asking me, teach me to fish like that. That's what you should be doing. And today I'm teaching whether you're in a receiving mode or not. You are. You did come. And a lot of people didn't come for their fishing lessons today. Anyway, it's for profit. It's for profit. And while I'm here, let me say this. There are things the Spirit of God knows that we don't know. That, can I be more specific? There's things He knows that you don't know. And you need to know what He knows. What did one of the prophets say? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's not lack of a college education. That's lack of these things of the Spirit. How do you follow the Spirit? If you don't know that we're to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, all that, and you refuse to walk in long-suffering, but you are going to tell them what you think, and you are going to get your revenge, well, okay. Amen. It's for profit. And if there are things that the Spirit knows that I don't know, and I would approach something like tongues, other tongues, I don't do that. Well, there may be profit in that that you're not aware of, and you're refusing. Amen. He knows something you don't know. And if it's for my profit, why don't I just humble myself a little bit and go with the one who knows? Amen.
Amen.
I went to Africa years ago, to Nigeria. And I knew nothing about Africa, nothing about Nigeria. And it intimidated me a little bit, but I was going with Pastor Webb. Pastor Webb had been there, and he knew what to do. So I thought, okay, I will travel with Pastor Webb and go to Nigeria. We got separated in the customs lines when we arrived in Nigeria. And so he's on through, and I'm in a different line, and they pull me off to a side into to a room different somewhere. And I thought, oh boy, what's going on here? And they start drilling me the purpose of my visit and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, my guide, my help, the guy who knows how you get through this, where is he? Help! But I had the Spirit of God. And they finally decided I wasn't a terrorist and let me through. And then I caught up with them. And he would have helped me if he would have known where I was and where they took me and all that kind of thing. But anyway, Spirit is my guide. He knows things I don't know. And it's not our subject today, but when we pray in other tongues, we're praying according to knowledge He has and I don't. So something as silly and ridiculous and weird as speaking in other tongues, I don't get it. Okay, fine. So, it's for profit. And I'm willing to trust God and His Spirit to move into territory I don't know and don't understand because I believe it's for my profit. Amen. Amen. So whenever the Spirit is operating, whether we understand it or not, it is for profit. And who's it to profit? Everybody. It's for the profit of all. And then let's jump down to verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Notice, first of all, who works these things? Spirit of God. Not the person. It's the Spirit of God. It says, distributing to each one individually as He wills. What is distributed to you, to me, to Susan, to John, to Sandy, to Emily? Emily was given that jumping real good spirit, wasn't she? An anointing, stir herself up. Well, she's trying to stir all of us up too, but anyway. It's an individual thing that the Spirit of God chooses who and what He will do. It's individual. And it is the Spirit of God who chooses. I didn't choose to be a pastor. A lot of things I didn't choose. I can cooperate with that, but I didn't decide, hey, you know, a career in ministry, being a pastor, that sounds really great. I can assure you I did not have that thought. I was pretty good at carpentry and some of this other stuff, and I could have probably had a really great career as a general contractor builder and probably would have grown. I have some ability there. Probably would have grown pretty well, so I had to lay all that aside. In fact, my brother-in-law partner, we were running a construction company, did really well for a couple of years, and then it got really bad and drove us out of it, you know. And then I realized the Lord had called me and had to let the business really go sour to get my attention and get out of the business. Amen. And where I'm supposed to be. Apparently, I wasn't listening too good. So sometimes, you know, if something's really going sour and going bad, There's a reason for that, that God's bringing you, trying to bring you in another direction. It was true in my case. But He chooses. I can't emphasize that enough today. This is one of the things that we need to be sure we understand. God chooses. The Spirit of God chooses each individual. How will they be equipped? What giftings they will have? How things will operate through them? Amen. So the Spirit works these gifts, not the person. And we get to a place where we start talking about, well, my gift is, and then somebody will say something, you know. Hang on a second. It is not your gift. It may be in the sense that God chose you to manifest Himself in a certain way, even in a position. We looked at that. But you don't own it. It's not yours. You don't run it the way you see fit. These gifts are not our possessions. They're a gift. It's something that the Spirit of God comes upon us for. And we don't get to operate it the way we want, when we want. It's something that He does. The Spirit works the gift. Where was that? Verse 11, we're still there. One and the same Spirit works all these things. If there's something by way of even position to be a pastor, it's the Spirit of God working that in me. It's not me. Now, I know that sometimes people say, oh, well, it's not me, it's the Lord. And that's true. Yet that individual, if they're faithful with what God gives them, will steward that gift and apply themselves to do it well. Right? I can't goof off all week and show up Sunday morning and have something of value to share and to say. I need to spend some time meditating the Word, listening to the Spirit of God, praying, reading the Scriptures, digging around a little bit. You know, sometimes you get asked, you know, well, how many hours as a pastor, how many hours a week do you work? Well, that's a difficult one to answer, because how does a pastor work? Well, if I visit the hospital or call somebody or, you know, yeah, that's pastoral work. But it's kind of, well, I'm always working. And on the other hand, not all that much. I don't know exactly how to describe that. I'm always alert and aware to the Spirit of God. I'm fellowshipping. I'm reading the Scriptures. I'm digging around a little bit. And sometimes things that I write down as far as a message and notes, sometimes it takes 20 minutes. And you might say, well, that's all he works is 20 minutes in preparation. No, I'm preparing all week, always. And then the moment comes when, after all of the thought, prayer, digging around, and following while you're even writing, you put it down and it only takes you a few minutes. So you're preparing all the time, you know. But it's the Spirit working in you. You do cooperate. You do grow in knowledge. You do grow in skill. I wrote it this way in my notes. What comes forth is not knowledge, as in just the accumulation of knowledge. You can go to college and get that. It's not skill. You do something long enough, you can gain some skill. It's not the ability that the person has, although they increase in ability. It is the inspiration of the Spirit. The person is only the vehicle or channel through which God can move. I'll say it this way. Very often, the Spirit of God makes me look really good. He makes me much more impressive than I am. And sometimes people make the mistake of being impressed by Pastor Dan. You should be impressed by the Spirit of God that He could take a jerk like Pastor Dan and do something valuable. Amen. Don't say that too loud, Susan. I think you might be emphasizing the jerk part. No, you're good. Amen. If God can do it with me, we can do it with anybody. And if it's working, it is nothing more than I am lining up with Him. That's it. That's it. Sometimes people will tell me, well, you know, when you explain that and show that, and when you go through the detail, you just catch things I've never caught. How do you do that? Well, I may have some natural inclination to be curious and pay attention to words, like I was talking about earlier, but it's the Spirit of God that sometimes I'll be reading something and go, oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. And look at that. And then I just bring them to church. It was Him. And that's why you've read it 100 times and you've never seen it before. And Pastor Dan saw it. Why did Pastor Dan see it? Because the Spirit of God illuminated it to me, gave it to me, showed me these things. Amen. And once you learn them, you do build and acquire. But it is not the person per se. The person is the channel. Again, no one owns or has or possesses the gift. All these gifts, whatever operations, activities, and so on, it is the Spirit of God doing through whom He will, as He chooses and as He will. So, you know, God may use somebody to do this, whatever it is, once and maybe never again. Whereas someone else, God may use them over and over and over and over. And in those cases where people say, you know, they've several times, they start referring to it as my gift. So in terms of position or appointment or where God's placed me as far as ministries, it seems that, yes, pastor and teacher, that sometimes the Spirit of God shows up in teaching of a quality that you go, whoo, that was something, right? Well, that's the Spirit of God, right? And you can get to a point where, you know, if someone says, well, tell me about yourself, you might say, well, I have the gift of teacher. I don't like expressing that way. God will help me and use me and anoint me in teaching. That's something that He seems to do quite a lot. But, you know, I don't possess it. And I can assure you this, if I stop cooperating with God, that'll dry up real quick. Real quick. About the moment I think it's me, it'll dry up real quick, right? I remember Brother Keith Moore, when we were still in Bible school, wanted to learn more about this, and he prayed. I guess he led up to it a little while, prayed, and he said, Lord, I just want to know how much You do in me and through me. He says, I want to know what's me and what's You. And just show me that, Lord. So he prayed that. Well, I don't remember all the details of the story, but I think it maybe was the next day he went to teach and stumbled over his words, couldn't put together 2 sentences that made sense together. Just every way he turned, every which way, nothing worked. He couldn't figure this out. He was confused about that. You know, just when that anointing was lifted, and he asked for it so he could see what's him and what's God, he was shocked at how confused and worthless and all of that he was without God helping him. And we should remember that. We should remember that. I endeavor to remember that. If God wasn't helping me right now, this just wouldn't be working out. Nobody'd be getting anything of any value. I'm not the prettiest face to look at. Amen. I know y'all didn't come to church because Pastor Dan, there's a good-looking man. Maybe Sandy thinks that. Yeah. But that's not why you're here. You know, you're hungry for the things of God. And so that's my assignment. That's my job. Praise the Lord. I got my hair cut this week, and at least I see all this white hair falling. And I said to the lady cutting my hair, well, at least it's there. You know, I'm really glad. I don't care what color. It's there. Just glad about that. So you're not here because Pastor Dan is the most attractive. And if I was bald, I hope you'd still come for, right? Can't help it. It's there or it's not. Anyway, I have heard so many Christians refer to their gift as something that's them. My gift is. I'll never forget, we were still in Bible school. Sandy and I were teaching a fifth grade class, Sunday school, Sunday nights. And another lady that was also a student was with us. And she came to us one time and says, whatever you need, whatever you have, just tell me. I'm an intercessor. I'll get it for you. And just immediately that put me off. What do you mean you're an intercessor? You're going to pray, and because you prayed, it's going to happen. When I pray, it doesn't happen, but you're an intercessor, so you're going to get it. You're going to make it happen. There is a place of intercession that is of the Spirit of God where God will give one an assignment to pray for somebody, and that helps. But I could tell she owned the thing like it was her, like she was something special. And through the years as a pastor, I cannot tell you how many people have come to me, my gift is so-and-so. And there have even been individuals who want to complain and say, you are not recognizing my gift. Well, first of all, it's quite debatable that that's a gift in you. And second, the pride coming off of you right now stinks to high heaven. And for that very reason, when someone makes a request or even demand of me, and there have been several through the years, well, now you are the last person I'm ever going to call on. You are dangerous. So be very careful about my gift. It's proper to recognize God uses me in a way that it's just an amazing thing to me. In spite of me, when I cooperate with Him, this and this and this seems to happen. And it seems to turn out good. There seems to be fruit by it. Amen. That's an awesome thing. That's the way we should understand it. No one possesses that gift. It's not them. I found myself writing here pitfalls, potential pitfalls. So we're not even going to list what the gifts of the Spirit are today as they are listed. The verses that we skipped, we'll get to that. That's not the most important thing. I have observed through the years that churches are split over this subject area. People that are Christians and family have trouble and division between them over this stuff. I have seen individuals harmed by quote-unquote gifts of the Spirit in operation. I have seen the false and demonic. I've seen every kind of trouble in this area, and today we need to understand some basics about all the operations of the Spirit. And one of them is, as I'm pointing out to you, it doesn't belong to that person. And they can get into pride about that. So I have listed five pitfalls to watch for. And I've already been touching probably most of these, but here's number one. A person can believe a gift belongs to him and then become susceptible to pride. Oh, have I seen this one a lot in believers. And when I don't acknowledge them the way they want to be acknowledged, the pride is offended and they do not stay. They leave. And I'm thinking of an example, well, more than one. I'll tell you what happens when individuals are affected this way. I mean, God begins to use them legitimately. And if they start thinking it's them, and they are susceptible to pride and start looking at things that way, a true and genuine will say, I can't see God for the you in the way, all of this pride. They will leave somewhere where they're not patted on the back and celebrated the way they want to be. They'll leave and go to another place and do it again and have to leave and go to another place and do it again and then they'll have to leave that and end up in no fellowship of believers because nobody recognizes their gift. Then they become something above all churches, all pastors, and only they know. and only they understand. Amen. If you don't have, I know I say this a lot, if you don't have somebody in your life that can tell you, no, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. There has to be someone in your life that can, you know, hit the e-stop. Tom will know what an e-stop is on construction equipment, you know, and a basket, a lift, things like that, you know. E-stop is a button. You just hit it, and everything stops. An emergency stop. E-stop. You need to have a working e-stop and know who gets to hit the e-stop. You got to have somebody that can hit the e-stop for you. If you don't, you will go further and further and further into pride and error, which the Bible calls the error of Balaam. And so that's the first pitfall, is susceptible to pride. You start thinking, man, when I come in, boy, oh boy, I'll just operate my gift. Number two, a person can attempt to operate a gift when they choose, believing it's in them to use. Then they are susceptible to another spirit. In other words, they may well have times and occasions when they operate in a gift the Spirit of God gives. And if you start thinking it's yours to operate when you see fit, you don't wait on the anointing of God. You don't wait on the leading of God. You know, the Bible even says, lay hands on no man suddenly. There were people that Jesus ignored. There were people that Jesus said, uh-uh. Why did he do that? He's following the Spirit of God. So there are times when people believe God uses me this way and I can do it at any time for you. That's a pride thing again. And when someone attempts to flow with the gift of God and God didn't lead that way and that's not God's choice, it's very easy to yield to another power, another spirit. Amen. We are talking about spiritual things. And it's an area where a person opens their spirit to the Spirit of God. But when you're open to the Spirit of God, if you don't learn how to discern and tell the difference between the two, you get susceptible to pride, another spirit will come in and imitate the workings of the Spirit of God. And by a different spirit, revelation can be told or facts can be told. This is what fortune telling is and so on, some of these other things. And again, we haven't talked about the gifts, what they are, but one of them is word of knowledge, prophesying. You can start prophesying in the Spirit of God, and if you're not careful, when that's not flowing, move right into by another spirit. Or a person making it up. There are times when I have heard it's nothing but someone prophesying to the ego of another person. You know, even though they say, thus saith the Lord, you're so misunderstood. The Lord understands you. All these people are wrong. You know, and start saying things to build up the ego of the other person. And what do? They gather a following. And it's another spirit. It's not the Spirit of God. So operating the gift without God's leading. Brother Hagin would talk about gifts of healing operating in him and after services having people come forward. And while in that time, the anointing being strong on him and everyone he would lay hands on would be healed. But you know, when that anointing would lift from him, he'd stop even though there were more people. He could pray the prayer of faith, but he was no longer ministering by the gift. And in his case, he would talk about, he saw how when he began to get physically tired, the anointing would lift from him. And so one of the things he used to do, if you were ever around him back in those days, and still true other ministers today, when he would have a healing line or prayer line and he wanted to lay hands on people, he'd move fast. Why? Get to as many people as possible before that lifts from him. Because when it lifts from him, he doesn't have it anymore. And he can't do what he would do by the Spirit of God. Well, why is it like that? Just so everybody knows, it's the Spirit of God, it's not him. Amen. Amen. And Brother Hagin knew when, in fact, he would sometimes say, well, come to the meeting tonight. Well, just pray for me right now. He says, it would be better while I'm under the anointing and gifts of healings are in operation. It'd be better than me praying for you now. And so he understood that. It was as the Spirit wills, not just when he wants. And I've seen many people make that mistake through the years. They think they can operate that gift anytime they want. They think it's about them. You know, let's invite so-and-so. They got this gift, and we'll just have them. You get little gatherings, and they're laying hands on one another and prophesying on one another. There's part of that that's right, but there's a lot of it that's not. Amen. Got to be careful about that. Third pitfall, number three. A third pitfall is a person can fail to recognize the Spirit of God manifesting in them, believing it's not their gift. You can think more lowly of yourself, think there's nothing there, and God's, what should we say here? God is prompting. God is moving and trying to get someone to follow him, maybe have a gift operate through them, so on. What comes to mind while I'm describing this is my dad here, and he don't talk about a lot of gifts operating in him, but one particular time, I think at a gas pump, at a gas station, a young lady is having trouble with her car. Don't remember if she's young or not. But, you know, it won't start and so on, and he wants to help. And I'm forgetting some of the details, but anyway, he says, well, I'll pray. And he went and laid his hands on the car, and he said, start in Jesus' name. And started walking, and he told her, now go try it. And it started right up.
Amen.
Amen. So I don't know if he recognized a gift come on him, but, you know, and you might say, was that working a miracle? So, yeah, sure, it could have been. Whatever it was, you know, oh, it's just random. But no, I think he recognized spirit of boldness, spirit of God came upon him. Now, does he go to every car that won't start, put his hands on it and say, start in Jesus' name, and it starts right up? Because if he would, I could use him around a little bit, you know, here and there. So, he could, if he had that gift to operate, he could have done it this week on his pressure washer, which didn't start for him. Apparently, I had the gift for his pressure washer. But, but you can start trying to operate yourself. And then the other side of that is sometimes people don't realize God's moving on them to do something. You may have never done it before. I've never laid hands and prayed for somebody, especially a stranger, in an elevator or something like that. But, you know, it's as he chooses. Why did God do that with Dad? Because he was there. And maybe, did this lady say she was asking God for help or something like that? I don't remember. No, she didn't. Okay. Well, and you wouldn't normally do that. Perhaps a spirit of boldness comes on him, and he just follow that out, and it worked that way. And, you know, and he didn't go around to the car shops everywhere, start laying hands on cars and commanding them to start as the Spirit wills. So you can fail to yield to God just not knowing what's this sense, this prompting, what's this. I mean, it's nothing more than an idea sometimes. Or maybe you see yourself. That's weird. I just saw myself go over there and talk to that person. That's weird. Isn't that weird? That's the Spirit of God, and you need to learn to recognize that. Not always, not every time. On the other hand, you know, you have some success with that, and then it might be the next time is, I'm just going to go talk to them. I'm just going to go talk to this person. I'm just going to talk to this person. I was out with a guy, soul winning, witnessing, street witnessing one time many years ago, and we're driving along. I'm driving. And he says, stop, 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 stop. And the door flies open before I even get the car stopped, minivan I think we were in. And he starts witnessing to this guy on the sidewalk. And I said something to him about, well, how did you know that guy needed to get saved? He says, oh, everybody needs to get saved. You know, so there was no leading of the Spirit. He just assumed and just operated that way all the time. And the more I was with him, he thought, well, it's time to talk to everybody. He was one of these confrontational type person who would witness, you know, stop people and argue with them. And I saw where, you know, give me your hands and we're going to pray. And he'd lead them in the sinner's prayer. Amen. And Brother Hagin said, you know, the Bible does say watch and pray. So I wouldn't close my eyes and I'd watch the person. And I could tell they were just trying to get rid of him. They said the word so we could quick be done. You know, if there was two or three of them, one's looking at the other, rolling their eyes and all that kind of thing, you know. So it's as the Spirit of God wills. Even in our witnessing, we should be prompted where you should, where you shouldn't. You know, Jesus told us, don't cast your pearls before swine. There's a time and a way, and it's not always. So even in how God leads, you need to recognize when it's Him, when it's not Him. So you can fail to yield to God. Number four, a person who operates in a gift or an anointing can attempt to impart that gift into another. Many times people have come forward, would you lay hands on me that gift that's in you would transfer into me? And I started realizing, no. And I answered, no. That's not for me to decide. You know, if there's something in me that you admire or you think is good or you see as God, it's not my gift to give you. Now, if God instructs me and I hear Him speak concerning something, yes, I can do that. But I even had parents bring young men. I think the call to preach is on this young man. Would you pray and impart the calling to them? You know, and as I'm thinking back, I did pray something, but the answer is no. God chooses. I can't do that. And maybe some of you don't really know what I'm talking about. Others who have been in things, Spirit-filled charismatic for years, know that back in the day, we were all laying hands on one another, imparting gifts into one another. And, you know, and that's not how it is. Amen. I'm going to lay hands on you that the gift that's in me would be in you. That's for God to choose. Amen. Sometimes there is impartations in laying on of hands. I saw it actually functioning, Dave Dewell, into her. Amen. Amen. But she liked it, but I don't know that she ever asked him, impart your gift into me. That's God's choosing. And so that's one of the reasons I believe that she's called yet to minister, because that anointing, there is an anointing in her concerning healing the sick. But, you know, a person attempting to impart into another person, I put my gift on you, I put my mantle on you. Even Elisha, when Elijah was going to go up in the fiery chariot, you know, give me a double, Elijah says to him, what do you want? What shall I give you? I want a double portion of your anointing. Does he say yes? He does not. He says, if you see me when I go, then it shall fall to you. What's he saying? He's saying it's up to God. It's up to God. And that double portion anointing did come on Elisha as he asked, but Elijah didn't impart it into him. That was God's choosing. Amen. And number five, a person can covet a gift or a ministry and attempt to operate in it. Some people just really want things. They want it bad. I want to be the Bible teacher. I want to be this. Others are like, I don't know why you'd ever want that. Well, some do. Some really want to be in front of people. Some want to be noticed. Some want to be called pastor. Boy, they've come through our church through the years. You know, one was serving, volunteer in ministry, one of our departments, and, you know, just grumbled to me one day, everybody should be calling me pastor by now. I made mental note of that. Oh, we are on the way out now, aren't we? You know, and so we have been very careful about that. You know, and so we don't, every department head, we don't call a pastor. So there are people that covet title, position, gifting. They want to be known as the praying person. They want to be known as whatever it is. That is covetousness. And you have many people attempt to operate in that. Many different Bible studies started in somebody's house because they want to be a pastor. And it leads to usually nothing. Without God's anointing to do it, it's not good. Years ago, there were two individuals, two families, left our church. You know, the one wanted to be recognized as a pastor. The other thought himself, I'm as good as any pastor, and so on. And so they started getting together Sunday mornings, you know, because things weren't right at all these churches, so they were going to do it right. And it wasn't too many weeks, and then they had a disagreement between the two as to which one was the leader, which one's the pastor. Well, we do this together. And so they kind of had a falling out with one another. It just goes nowhere. If there's not a genuine call of God, you know, if there is, you accept that with humility and approach it very carefully. So I know of several individuals, and I'm going to go start a church, and they do, and in some cases, just nothing happens. In other cases, they keep meeting, and it gets to where all kinds of trouble comes up in that. People get sick, and a wide variety of things start to happen in some of these circles, and it's definitely a manifestation of pride in an individual. And so this can lead to false and even demonic manifestation from time to time. Amen. So these are just pitfalls and cautions about spiritual things. We are moving into an area here that we've got to be very careful about. I want to share quickly, if I can, two scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And for time, we won't read the rest of the verse, but where did your Bible come from? Well, men wrote it down. A bunch of different people wrote it down. How did they get it? By inspiration of God. It would be what we would refer to as gifts of the Spirit today. They were given by prophecy or word of knowledge. They were given words by the Spirit of God, and they happened to write them down. Many of you may know that through the years, there's been a lot of different writings that some people consider Scripture, and others say, no, that's not part of the Bible. Well, how do you know which is which? Well, many times in those writings, there's evidence whether there's inspiration of God or not. If there's something that's not factually true on a historical thing, if there's something that says lying is okay, or different things like that, you know, you can tell it's not inspired by God. Right. There may be useful information in it, but it's not inspired by God. All of these spiritual things, I went to the scripture to say this, we are looking for what is inspired by God and is not the people. Amen. What is truly inspired by God and not the people. And, you know, I think almost all of us can develop that sense of somebody says something and you go, that just kind of something down here just kind of, I don't know. It just scratches me wrong. And then there's other times where somebody says something and you go, wow, that smells like God. That feels like God. And there's just a quality that you can tell about a thing. So it's always judged by Scripture, and does it have the inspiration of God? Inspiration means God breathed. And remember, things of the Spirit, pneuma, breathe, breath of God, Spirit of God. And then 1 Kings 22, quick little story and we're done. Because when you get over to the gifts of the Spirit, I suppose we'll go there, maybe even next week. To prophesy means to speak by inspiration of God. One of the gifts is word of knowledge, where God reveals something. And people will sometimes, supposed to be under the anointing, prophesy to somebody. But I have heard individuals prophesy the money out of your pocket into theirs. And I have heard people prophesy all this blessing and greatness is coming your way. And I can tell you are just puffing them up. You're puffing them up so big just so they think, oh, this was awesome. And you're doing nothing but appealing to pride. Amen. And people, well-meaning, can say things completely wrong. One revival service with a church staff that supposedly was having all this great move of the Spirit offered a prayer, you know, we'll pray for you and all of that. I went forward for that. Guy laying hands on me, happened to be a young man, but, you know, started talking about, oh, the pain, your father never loved you and all this kind of stuff. And I should have just said, you jerk, and walked away. Because it was absolutely untrue. He felt the pressure to manifest the Spirit of God and to prophesy. So that may have been true in a lot of cases. It wasn't true in my case. So it's a lie that I would call a prophelie. It's not prophesy, it's prophelie. So, and we're going to get to it. Paul writes, do not forbid speaking in other tongues. He also writes, let all things be done decently in order. I'm laying the groundwork here. Don't be afraid of the things of the Spirit. They profit us. But there is a false. And it's no problem when you can tell the difference between the two. Amen. 1 Kings 22 and verse 13. 1 Kings 22, 13. And then, Emily, you jump up and find a microphone in just a moment here. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micah was one of the prophets in the Old Testament, spoke to him saying, now listen. The words of the prophets with one accord encouraged the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement. Let's stop for a second. You're asking a prophet of God to say what God says, and you're telling him how to say it. That is the same as those that, you know, come lay hands on my son and impart the gift to be a pastor into him. They're telling me what to say as if it's the Spirit of God. And people do this to this day a lot. And then verse 14. And Micah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. We must limit ourselves to what is the Spirit of God. There are many times I have an inkling of something, I'm not sure, I don't do it, I don't say it. Why? Because if I'm going to say it, it's important that I get it right. Verse 15, then he came to the king said to him, Micah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall we refrain? Kings weren't filled with the Spirit like people are today. They couldn't seek God without the help of a prophet. They're asking God, should we go into this battle or should we not? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. So the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? In other words, the king knew that he was just talked to in a way dripping with sarcasm. Yeah, go. The Lord says go, and you'll be victorious in battle. And the king says, come on now, tell me the truth. Why did Micah say that way? Because all these prophets were telling him, oh, you're going to be victorious in battle. He was asked to say the same thing, and so he just goes along with the flow in sarcasm. Yeah, go, king. You're going to be victorious in battle. And the king says, come on now, you got to tell the truth. 17. Then he said to him, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house. So in other words, the king's going to be killed in battle. The man he's talking to is about to be killed in battle. This is the actual word of the Lord. You can see why he would not want that word. But on the other hand, the prophet, I can only say what God says. Verse 19, then Micah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all of heaven, hosts of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Now, when it says a spirit, it doesn't say a good spirit. It doesn't say a holy spirit. A spirit. Don't have time to teach it, but demonic spirits and Satan have access to the presence of God in some manner. We'll have to talk about that some other time. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets. The Lord granted permission, might be the way to say that. Why? Because this king was blockheaded and going to do what he was going to do anyway. The Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. What am I saying? I'm saying all of these spiritual things, we need to be discerning and know what is truly God and what is not. And don't be afraid of what is not God, because we have the equipment to deal with that. That's no problem at all. And so what has happened in churches is people just avoid the subject altogether. We can't have any of this happen, so they don't have any of the good happen. And they forbid all manifestation of the Spirit. They forbid speaking in other tongues. Just all kind of stuff. And it becomes a division between us. Oh, we don't do that Holy Spirit stuff. Why? Because somebody operated falsely once or more than once. That's the old proverbial saying, throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Amen. Remember, it's for our prophet. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Let me pray, and before you receive the offering, Emily's going to share a testimony here. Father, we just thank you and bless you for this word. I am believing, and I pray others with me, I am believing that we move forward into the good things of your Spirit, that we might profit by them. And we're looking for a revival of your church. Revival in this church, a time of refreshing and growing again. Father, we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.